Get your ears wrapped around the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast. All the scoop you need to know, from college basketball to the NBA and even March Madness. News of your rising stars. Topics on and off the hardwood. This is the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast.
GSMC Basketball Podcast. This episode is brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network, and I am your host, Jesse Tapia. All right, so it is Monday, April 23rd, and here's what's going on today. First up, we're going to be talking Cavs versus Pacers, that series. All right, we're also going to fit in the Washington and Toronto series, so that's what we're going to do for this first segment. Second segment, we're going to be talking about Philly versus Miami and then Boston versus Milwaukee. Third segment, we're going to be talking Golden State, San Antonio, and then Pelicans sweeping the Trailblazers. And then for the fourth segment, we'll talk about the other two. We got Houston and Minnesota, and then the Jazz versus Utah, which I think those are the two games going on tonight, so it just fits in perfectly there. All right, so that's how the show's going to go. And, I mean, these NBA playoffs, I think, have probably been the most entertaining in recent memory because of the fact that we don't got, I mean, the only sweep we have is New Orleans over Portland, all right? And New Orleans is just, they look ridiculous right now. All right, I actually can't wait to talk about them, but nonetheless, like I said, I mean, we got Milwaukee and Boston. That's down to, that's up 2-2 now, all right? Boston was up 2-0 at one point. We got the Cavs, who, I mean, just pretty much looks like LeBron is literally scratching and clawing to keep this team up. All right, that's 2-2 now. We got, let's see, Philly and Miami's 3-1, but I don't know. If Miami gets Game 5 in Philly, it's a whole different series. What else? There's another series that Minnesota has a chance to make it 2-2 tonight. Same with OKC if they end up winning tonight. I know there's another one. I said Toronto and Washington, that's at 2-2 now also. So yeah, pretty much probably the most competitive because it's not just like the top teams are beating down on the lower seeded teams. It's all pretty even right now. So like I said, playoffs have been pretty fun so far. But nonetheless, like I said, I mean, we had the Cavs and Pacers who are currently tied 2-2 in their series. They played on Sunday and the Cavs won that one 104-100. LeBron played 46 minutes yesterday. Shot 12 of 22 from the field, 32 points, 7 assists, 13 rebounds. All right. I mean, the dude was just doing it all. Kevin Love, let's see, shot 2 of 10, 5 points, 11 rebounds there. Not great. Jose Calderon got the start since George Hill was out. He had 5 points in this one, 2 assists. Kyle Korver played pretty well. I mean, he had 18 points, shot 4 of 9 there. J.R. Smith was okay, 12 points on, that's not great, but it's all right, I guess, like I said. 12 points, 5 rebounds, shot 4 of 12 from the field. Let's see, off the bench, you had Jordan Clarkson with 12 points, shot 5 of 9, and then Rodney Hood only played 14 minutes. He was 1 of 2 from the field, had 6 points there. Larry Nance had 6 points, 3 rebounds. Let's see, Tristan Thompson, I mean, it seemed like Ty Lue, before the game, was talking like he's going to get him more involved and stuff like that, but the guy only played 7 minutes, had a rebound, no points, so I mean, not really much there. And then Jeff Green played the most minutes off the bench with 24. He had 8 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, shot 3 of 5. All right, for the Pacers, you had Thaddeus Young with 12 points, 16 rebounds, shot 5 of 12. Let's see, Bojan Bogdanovic had 10 points, 6 rebounds. Miles Turner had 17 points, only 3 rebounds. Derek Collison had 12 points, 8 assists, shot 5 of 14. Victor Oladipo couldn't really shoot the ball well at all, 5 of 20 from the field, 3 of 8 from the 3-point line. He had 17 points, 5 assists, 6 rebounds. And then off the bench, you had Domantas Sabonis, who played really well. 9 of 12 shooting there, 19 points, 6 rebounds. And then you had Lance Stephenson with 11 points. Let's see, 6 assists, shot 5-11. Lance Stephenson is turning into the story of this series, all right? It's very difficult when you got LeBron out there, but Lance Stephenson is must-watch TV. But nonetheless, like I said, Cavs won this one 104-100, all right? And if you remember what I told you when I first started reading off the stats, okay? LeBron played 46 minutes. They only won by 4. All right. I mean, I know that people tend to get mad because of the fact that they'll point to LeBron's team saying, oh, he always says he never, like, people say he never has help, but it's more so his fans. I mean, LeBron's never really complained about his team or anything like that. But the thing is with LeBron, people, fans thing is, he always needs help. All right. And I mean, just with this team right here, this is probably the worst team LeBron has been on in a while. All right. He literally has to do everything. The guy has to play 46 minutes, nearly a whole game. All right, has to pretty much produce near a triple-double for this team to win by four. All right, go back to his 46-point performance. They only won by three in game two. All right, and with the Cavs, this isn't sustainable. It's not. I'm not trying to be a hater or anything like that, but it's just not. You can't do it. No one else is stepping up right here. Kevin Love hasn't played well. All right, the guys they traded for, Nance, Hood, Clarkson, Hill, have done nothing. If anything, I feel LeBron's next two best players on that team so far in the playoffs have been J.R. Smith and Kyle Korver. Smith hasn't really been great. Korver's been pretty decent. All right, and then after that, it's pretty much a toss-up. I mean, I'm not really sure how, like, if they lose game three, okay, because they're going back to Cleveland. Let's say they lose game three, series is over. Or game five, I should say. Game five, excuse me. If they lose game five, series is over. All right, there's no way that, I mean, LeBron can continue to do this game in and game out in order to keep the Cavs afloat. It's just not going to happen here. All right? I mean, Victor Oladipo goes 5 of 20, and you barely beat the team by 4? I mean, come on now. All right? Let me look again at the Cavs, the whole stat thing. I mean, like I said, Kevin Love only had 5 points. Like I said, Korver and Smith played all right, 18 points and 12 points apiece there. Tristan Thompson was supposed to be someone who maybe steps up a bit, only plays 7 minutes. Larry Nance was a minus 2 out there, had 6 points, only 3 rebounds. All right, Clarkson was okay. Hood, I mean, played only 14 minutes. Where is the production going to come from? All right, and Tate been talking about this series over time, like over the last week or so. And he tells me that this Cavs team would have been better off with the guy, the team they had before they made all these trades. All right, with the Derrick Rose, with the Dwayne Wade. And you know what? I believe him, okay? Obviously, I mean, let's be real, okay? Let's say they keep those players and they don't end up making these trades where they're bringing in Nance, Clarkson, Hood, and Hill. They still make the playoffs, all right? That's no doubt. They still make the playoffs. And they still probably finish as the 4th seed. Okay, so tell me this. You get to the playoffs, look at what Derrick Rose has been doing with the Timberwolves. Dude's playing big minutes and he's being very productive. You're telling me the Cavs couldn't use that at the point guard position right now? Okay, or how about a Dwayne Wade? A guy off the bench where maybe you could get LeBron some rest because the game slowed down. Now you throw Dwayne Wade out there and you're not going to lose because he's out since LeBron's out. All right, you don't think they could use that? I mean, who could you? You can't. The Cavs literally are so handicapped to the point where they can't take him off. All right, they have nothing else. All right, the guy has to play nearly a full game. I mean, you can't put Jeff Green in his place and expect the team to do well. You can't put Nance. You can't put Clarkson. You can't put Hood. All right, like I say, you put Dwayne Wade out there, LeBron gets some rest. Or how about a Jay Crowder? All right, a nice little option off the bench there. You don't think they could have used that? I mean, it's a little bit ridiculous here. All right, and I'm not trying to make excuses or anything for LeBron or anything like that, but I mean, it's a matter of the facts are the facts. This guy has absolutely no help on this team. All right, none whatsoever. But we'll see what ends up happening with the Cavs. I mean, as far as the Pacers go, I mean, they're still playing well in this series. Obviously, you'd like them to be a little bit more consistent as far as their performances, but I mean, playing as poorly as they did, I mean, their top scorer was Oladipo with 17 points, but like I said, he shot 5 of 20. Actually, it was Sabonis with 19 points, excuse me. But I mean, for you to play as bad as you did, let's see how they shot the ball. They shot 43% from the field, 36% from three, 61% from the free throw line. All right, to be as bad as you were that day and only lose by 4, I mean, you can't really knock yourself there. So like I said, I mean, if the Pacers end up taking Game 5 in Cleveland, I don't think we see a Game 7. I think it's over after that. And I feel like I'm okay, like I'm all right for me to say that because of the fact that, like I said, the Cavs just haven't played well. All right? They haven't looked good at all. So we'll see about that. But anyways, like I said, we had Toronto and Washington. That series is now tied up. All right? Washington won Game 4, 106-98. You had, for the Raptors, Serge Ibaka with 7 points, 10 rebounds, shot 2 of 5 there. Kyle Lowry, I mean, he had 19 points, 5 assists, 7 rebounds, shot 7 of 15, 4 of 6 from the 3-point line. He played well, And with Lowry, I mean, maybe, because like you figure him being a top player on this team, like a top two player, you have DeRozan as number one, Lowry as number two. You'd expect to see more from Lowry. And like he played well. I'm not trying to knock his game or anything like that, but maybe it's just a part of we expect too much out of Kyle Lowry. Maybe that's what it is. I mean, because like I said, he didn't play well. I mean, he shot 7 of 15 from the field. That's nearly 50% right there. All right, had 19 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists. Maybe that's just what Kyle Lowry is. All right, maybe he's just not going to be a guy who's giving you at least 20-plus a game in the playoffs or anything like that. Maybe he's just a guy who's going to produce, and it's going to pretty much that's all you're going to get from him. Maybe we just expect way too much out of him. I don't know, that's just one thought I got, because maybe it's just a matter of we've just overhyped him a bit. All right, but anyway, you had DeMar DeRozan who showed up in this one big time. 35 points, 6 assists, 6 rebounds. Shot 10 of 29 from the field, 1 of 4 from the 3-point line. Off the bench, you had Jakob Poeltl with 10 points, 7 rebounds in this one, shot 4 of 6. And you had DeLon Wright with 7 points in this one, shot 3 of 7. For the Wizards, you had Otto Porter with 12 points, 6 rebounds, shot 4 of 8. John Wall had 27 points, 14 assists, 6 rebounds, shot 10 of 24. Bradley Beal shot 10 of 19, 5 of 7 from the 3-point line, had 31 points in this one. Let's see, 5 rebounds. And then off the bench, you had Kelly Oubre Jr. with 10 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists. If I'm the Raptors, I might be panicking. All right. I mean, you went up 2-0. Now you're down. Now it's tied 2-2. Haven't we seen this before? Haven't we? Don't we know how this series ends? All right. I mean, it's just like, come on here. You guys were up 2-2. All you needed was, or 2-0. All you needed was one more win. All right. And it's just, I don't know. I'm kind of afraid for the Raptors here. All right. I figured that with the way Kyle Lowry's been playing, maybe the bench will step it up for him. And they did for the first two games. But now it's just a matter of, I don't know. All right. Maybe that formula to win isn't sustainable. All right. Let's see when they're, I think they play, do they play Tuesday or Monday? Yeah, they play Tuesday, I think. They play, next game is on Wednesday. All right. Game 5 is on Wednesday in Toronto. There's a lot of game 5s right here where I figure if the lower seeded team wins game 5, it's over. Like in Milwaukee and Boston, which we're going to be talking about next. I mean, actually, I'll save it for that. But as far as the Wizards go, I mean, they win game 5 in Toronto, it's a wrap. It's absolutely a wrap. So we'll see what ends up happening there. But I mean, as far as the Wizards go, let's say they advance, you got to play a team like the Pacers or Cavs. I wouldn't put it past them getting to the Eastern Conference Finals. All right. And one thing, too, we got to talk about. The Wizards are the 8th seed. The Raptors are the 1 seed. How big is this, like, if the Wizards take the series, how big is it as far as playoff upsets? All right, it's not like when the Warriors, I think they upset that Belief team, I think it was, and they upset the Mavericks, I think it was, as the 1 seed, I think they were. I got to double check. I think it was the Mavericks or the Grizzlies. Either way, I mean, how big of an upset is this? It's the 8th seed knocking off the 1. So we'll see if it ends up happening, obviously, but I'm just saying, look forward to it. But either way, we're going to wrap it up here. Next up, like I said, we're going to be talking Boston versus Milwaukee and then Philly versus Miami, those series. So stay tuned and we'll be right back.
Are you looking for the very best NFL and college football podcast? Then check out the GSMC Football Podcast. Get the latest football news both on and off the field. From the NFL draft to trades to the rumor mill to the NFL combines, they got you covered. That's gsmcpodcast.com/football-podcast. Get updates on college rivalries, game day insights, and much, much more. It's football talk the way you want it. This show eats, sleeps, and breathes football. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Alright, and welcome back to the GSMC Basketball Podcast. We spent that first segment talking about the Cavs-Pacers series and Washington versus Toronto. Like I said, with the Cavs, I mean, having LeBron play about nearly the whole game and winning by four is not a very sustainable formula. All right? And I don't see the Cavs getting to the finals, maybe even let alone the Eastern Conference Finals, the way they're playing. I mean, no one has really stepped up besides LeBron. Korver's been playing well, I'll give him that. And J.R. Smith has had his moments. But everyone else, I mean, Kevin Love has been pretty non-existent. The guys they traded for, Nance, Hill, Hood, Clarkson, pretty non-existent. And everyone else, for that matter, non-existent. So we'll see what ends up going on with the Cavs. I mean, there's no way LeBron comes back to this team, though. Like, there's no way LeBron is coming back to Cleveland. No doubt in my mind about it. Because of the fact that LeBron is at a point in his career where he doesn't want to be carrying teams. All right. He wants to go to a team like Houston where, yeah, he's going to be the best player, but he doesn't have to do all the work. Go to a team like Philly where, yeah, he's going to be the best player, doesn't have to do all the work. Even the Lakers. All right. So we'll see. But like I said, I mean, if I'm a Cleveland fan, enjoy it. All right. Because what? They're playing again on... Are they playing? I think, yeah, they're playing again on Wednesday, Game 5. Could be LeBron's last game in Cleveland if we're being real. All right. Anyways, we'll see. And as far as Toronto, Washington go, Toronto needs to win Game 5 or series is over. I'm just going to say all that there. All right. But anyways, like I said, we're going to get into this segment now. We got Boston and Milwaukee to talk about and then Philly versus Miami. So let's get into it. All right. So we had Game 4 on Sunday. Boston got blown out Game 3. I mean, Milwaukee practically played a perfect game with as far as the guys they were bringing in, the lineups they were throwing out there. I mean, Boston had no answer for it. Did they for this game? Looked like they did. Had a very bad second quarter. Had a bad, honestly, first half. Yeah, terrible first half, actually. I should just say that. All right, second half comes. Boston looks great. Just wasn't enough. Milwaukee wins this one, 104 to 102. For Boston, you had Al Horford with 13 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists, shot 4 of 8. Jason Tatum had 21 points, 3 assists, 3 rebounds, shot 7 of 16, 2 of 5 from the 3-point line. Terry Rozier, Game 3 and Game 4, has looked awful. I mean, the dude has just not looked good at all. I'm not really sure what it is. I mean, I figured you have all the momentum in the first two games because you outplayed your matchup, which was Eric Bledsoe. And it's just Game 3 and Game 4. He's disappeared. Right, he hasn't played well. I mean, yeah, he had 10 points. Did have 8 assists, 5 rebounds. But, I mean, he shot 3 of 12, 2 of 10 from the 3-point line. If you're taking Terry Rozier, I think, needs to... If your shot's not falling from 3, you got to drive in. You can't keep taking it from 3. All right, but either way, there was that. Then you had Jaylen Brown, who's looking like a future star for this team. The guy had 34 points, 8 rebounds, shot 13 of 24, 5 of 8 from the 3-point line. There was one at the end of the game with like 40 seconds left where he's trying to drive in rather than run the clock out. And, I mean, on the replay, it looked like he got fouled. Refs didn't call it, so, I mean, you can't really do anything there. If the ref says it's not a foul, it's not a foul. They end up losing it. Giannis is the game-winning tip-in. And, I mean... Celtics run a play to Marcus Morris at the end, but he didn't hit the shot, so they end up losing, like I said. But Jaylen Brown, it's just those little things right there, all right? The whole dribbling the ball out, letting the clock run a little bit. He's got to start doing that. But nonetheless, like I said, the dude is looking like a future star for the Celtics. Easily been their best player for this series so far, all right? And if not for Giannis, I mean, he probably would be the best player in the series. But like I said, I mean, that Giannis guy is on fire. But nonetheless, like I said, Jaylen Brown had 34 points and then off the bench. Marcus Morris, who struggled in this one, had 13 points, 4 rebounds, shot 4 of 14, only hit 1-3, only took 1-3. For the Bucks, you had Giannis Antetokounmpo with 27 points, 5 assists, 7 rebounds, shot 12 of 20. Chris Middleton, who, I mean, has just been on fire. I'd say he's been the third best player in this series. I'd put Jaylen Brown at number 2. Middleton had 23 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, shot 8 of 14, 3 of 5 from the 3-point line. Chris Middleton might have the best mid-range game in the NBA, and I mean, it is not close right now. I don't want to say not close, you got that Kevin Durant guy, but it's ridiculous how automatic Chris Middleton is from mid-range, all right? Like I said, it's just ridiculous. The dude does not miss whatsoever. It doesn't matter how well in defense you're playing on him, it doesn't matter how tall you are, nothing matters. Okay, if Chris Middleton wants to hit the shot, he's going to hit the shot. It's just ridiculous. I haven't seen anything like it besides Kevin Durant and maybe even Sean Livingston. All right, the dude is just automatic from the mid-range. And you had Eric Bledsoe, had 9 points, 5 assists, shot 3 of 9, 1 of 2 from the 3-point line. That guy just had a bad series so far. Malcolm Brogdon had 10 points, 4 rebounds, shot 4, 7, and off the bench. You had Jabari Parker, who, I mean, the last two games, I'm not really sure why they refused to in the first two games, but they've been playing him now.
games 3 and games 4. And he's been playing well. Had 16 points, 3 blocks, 2 steals, 7 rebounds. Shot 5 of 10, 2 of 3 from the 3-point line. Thon Maker had 8 points, 2 rebounds, shot 3 of 6. And then let's see, you had Matthew Dellavedova, who had 4 points, had a real nice little layup at the end of the first half, which brought a lot of momentum to this Bucks team. All right, so that's all pretty much what happened there. Like I said, I mean, the first half, Boston just, they played well out the gate. End of the first quarter comes, Boston looks like they're starting to slip, and the second quarter comes, and Boston just doesn't look good at all. All right. They just didn't look good. Second half comes, and Boston did that thing what they always do usually. They come back, all right? They even had the lead at one point. I think that's when Jaylen Brown, that's when Jaylen Brown ended up losing the ball in the fourth, ended up with 40 seconds left, or however much time was left on the clock. And it's just, they couldn't pull it out. They couldn't finish the job. All right, so now it's 2-2. I mean, we're going back to Boston here. Milwaukee's got all the momentum right now, all right? And it's just with Milwaukee, I mean, they take game 5 in Boston, I think it's a wrap. All right? I truly think it is. Boston, I'm not sure really what it is, but they just haven't looked good in Milwaukee at all. I know it's only been 2 games or whatever. But nonetheless, I mean, I'm not sure. Like, it's just weird. Like, when Boston has gone to Milwaukee in the series for the last 2 games, I mean, they haven't looked good. All right? I understand they only lost by 2 in the last game, but if you're talking about an overall performance, it wasn't great. Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum were pretty much the only reasons why they ended up getting back there. All right? And it's, like I said, if Boston loses Game 5 in Boston, all the momentum in this series leans with Milwaukee. And it's just like, I mean, let's like imagine the confidence level of Milwaukee if they take Game 5. All right? It's difficult to win in Boston. All right? No team has ever beat Boston in a series when Boston goes up 2-0. I think they're 35-0 in those series. Okay? Boston needs to figure out a way in Game 5. Like, they need to figure out a way to pretty much just jump ahead. All right? You need Jaylen Brown to get going from the start. Jason Tatum to get going from the start. You need Al Horford to pretty much elevate himself a little bit more. Like, games 1 and 2. Guy was very involved in the offensive part of the game plan. And games 3 and 4, I feel like he hasn't been as involved. All right? Terry Rozier. What's going on with him? Why is it for the first 2 games he played well? Okay, and the last 2 games, I mean, the dude has been non-existent. Off the bench, I mean, Marcus Morris has been the only real guy who's produced. Maybe you need a guy like Shane Larkin to step up a bit. All right, maybe Semi Ojeleye. Greg Monroe, I mean, he only played 5 minutes in game 4. So with Boston, like I said, game 5 is a must win. For Milwaukee, I mean, you lose game 5, you still got to go back home, so you're fine there. But I do think if Boston wins game 5, then the series will be over in 6, I think, if Marcus Smart comes back for game 6. All right, Marcus Smart comes back for game 6. I figure that maybe you got Brad Stevens putting him on Chris Middleton, who's going to limit him a bit, or maybe even a Jabari Parker when he comes in. All right, because Marcus Smart can pretty much guard every position on the floor, for being real here. All right, and I think if they get game 5, he comes back game 6, then who knows? All right. I think Marcus Smart is that much of a difference maker for the Celtics. So we'll see what ends up going on there. But like I said, I mean, I think the series goes to whoever wins game 5. All right. So we'll see about it. But let's talk Philly versus Miami. All right. So we had game 4 on Saturday. Philly was up 2-1. This was a big game for Miami. And now it's just a matter of they got to win in Philly for game 5 or it's over. All right, Philly won game 4, 106 to 102. Miami played well, but it's just like Philly is just, they're just better, I think. All right, so for Philly, you had Dario Saric with 11 points, 8 rebounds, shot 4 of 13, wasn't great there. Covington had 10 points, shot 3 of 5, had 6 rebounds. Embiid didn't play great at all, had 14 points, 12 rebounds, 8 turnovers, 4 fouls, shot 2 of 11, didn't hit a 3. Ben Simmons had 17 points. Let's see, 10 assists, 13 rebounds, triple-double there. J.J. Redick had 24 points, shot 2 of 9 from 3, 8 of 18 from the field. And off the bench, you had Aaron Ilyasova with 10 points. And then Bellinelli had 10 points. No Markel Fultz in this one, did not play 1 minute. All right, and then for the Heat, you had James Johnson with 15 points, 5 assists, 8 rebounds, shot 5 of 12 from the field. Josh Richardson had 10 points, 7 steals, 7 assists, 5 rebounds, pretty much did everything there. Sonny Whiteside finally played well, played 26 minutes, had 13 points, 13 rebounds, shot 6 of 9. I mean, This was big for him. You had Goran Dragic with 20 points, 4 steals, 3 assists, shot 9-19. And then off the bench, you had Dwayne Wade with 25 points, 3 steals, shot 10-22. There. All right. Like I said, Miami ended up losing this one 106-102. And I mean, like I said, if Miami ends up winning game 5 in Philly, you go back to Miami for game 6. Anything could happen. But it's just a matter of, I mean, in reality, series might be over. All right. I think I might be calling it here. Miami played pretty much as well as you could. You got a great performance from Hassan Whiteside. You got a great performance from Dwayne Wade. Dragic played well. James Johnson played well. Josh Richardson did a little bit of everything. Joel Embiid, I mean, only had, what'd I say? I think he had, like, what was it? 10 points, I think it was? 14. He had 14 points. Shot 2 of 11. Didn't play well. Sarge didn't play well. Bellinelli, nearly over, were pretty much didn't really do too much there. And you still lose by 4. All right. I mean, it's not looking good. For you to play as well as you did, the team to play as poorly as they did, and they still win, I think it's just a matter of Philly is just a better team here. All right. I did pick Miami to win this series in 6 games. That's not going to be happening. I mean, there still is a possibility they come back, but it's just like how much better do they need to play in order to get a win in this series? I mean, all the games have been close except for game 1, I think it was. And what was it? Game 3? In game 3, I mean, that was close up until the fourth quarter, but it's just, I don't know, it's not looking good for Miami here. They really got to steal one on the road in order for them to have any chance whatsoever, obviously. Like, obviously, game 5 is a must win because you lose, you're out. So, we'll see, but it's just a matter of, I think Philly is just the better team, and Miami really can't hang their heads on anything there. So, we'll see what ends up happening, but we're going to wrap it up here. Next up, we're going to be talking about San Antonio versus Golden State, and then the Pelicans sweeping the Trailblazers. So, stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the GSMC Basketball Podcast. So far today, we've talked about all the series so far in the East, all right? We got the Raptors and Wizards who are tied at 2-2. Milwaukee and Boston's tied at 2-2. Cleveland and Indiana's tied at 2-2. And then Philly's the only one with the lead in their series. They're up 3-1 on Miami. All right, as far as Cleveland goes, I mean, LeBron's going to have to do it all or else they're done. Toronto needs to get Game 5 or else they're done. Boston needs to win game 5 or else I think they're done. And then you got Philly. I mean, pretty much just win one. That's it. So we'll see if they're able to do it. But nonetheless, I mean, as far as the East goes, I mean, Philly has to be the team that you figure has looked the best so far in the playoffs, right? Out of the East. I mean, Miami's played about as well as they could and they just can't beat them. So we'll see about it. But anyways, let's head over to the West. All right, first up, let's talk Golden State versus San Antonio, and then we'll talk about the Pelicans sweeping the Trailblazers. So let's get into it. All right, we had game 4 on Sunday. Looking like I figured that Golden State was going to sweep them. Maybe we just get a gentleman sweep now, but nonetheless, I mean, San Antonio won the game. Not sure how, but they did. All right, you had San Antonio who won 103-90. For the Warriors, you had Draymond Green with 9 points, 10 rebounds, or actually 18 rebounds, excuse me, 9 assists, shot 4 of 14 from the field. Kevin Durant had 34 points, 2 assists, 13 rebounds, shot 12 of 28 from the field, 4 of 13 from the 3-point line. JaVale McGee had 7 points, 7 rebounds on 3 of 6 shooting. Klay Thompson didn't really play well at all, 12 points, 5 rebounds, shot 4 of 16 from the field, 3 of 6 from the 3-point line. Off the bench, we had David West with 8 points, 3 rebounds, shot 4 of 6. Let's see, Sean Livingston had 10 points there, 3 rebounds, shot 5 of 9. And then for the Spurs, you had LaMarcus Aldridge with 22 points, 10 rebounds, shot 7 of 19, 3 of 3 from the 3-point line. Rudy Gay had 14 points, 2 steals, 2 assists, 7 rebounds, shot 7 of 15, was a plus 16, which was actually not a team best. That was Patty Mills, who had 9 points, was a plus 21, had 5 assists, shot 3 of 8. Deontay Murray had 12 points in this one, 4 rebounds, shot 4 of 8 from the field, 3 of 4 from the 3-point line. And then off the bench, you had Kyle Anderson, who had 10 points, 3 rebounds, shot 4 of 4. And look at Manu, all right, played the most minutes off the bench with 25, and the guy was a plus 18, 16 points, 5 assists, shot 5 of 10, 3 of 5 from the 3-point line. All right, Tony Parker even played all right. I mean, had 9 points. Was a minus 9, though, so wasn't great for the team on the court. Nonetheless, he had 2 assists, 4 of 7 shooting. All right, so, I mean, Manu Ginobili still doing it. And at this point, I mean, who would you say the better player is, him or Tony Parker? I feel like Tony Parker got more minutes during the regular season. But it's just like Tony Parker, I mean, he plays, but he's not really productive, I feel. All right? Like Manu, at least, when he's out there, when it's very rare, like he's playing as many minutes as he did yesterday, he gives you that game. All right? So I'm just trying to figure out who at this point in their career is better, Manu Ginobili or Tony Parker. And I mean, in reality, if you had to take one, I mean, neither is going to become your starting, pretty much move into your starting five or anything like that. But I figure you need someone off the bench. I mean, both guys are pretty old. You don't expect them to pretty much play big minutes off the bench or be anything like that. But you need one game. I'm trusting Manu. All right. But nonetheless, I mean, good on the Warriors or the Spurs for winning game 4. All right. Now they're down 3-1. Game 5 is heading back to Oracle. Do the Spurs have a chance? Spurs probably about have as much of a chance at coming back and winning the series than I do making it into the NBA. All right, so they have no chance whatsoever. I mean, it's just a matter of now, like I said, I've been saying, you got to figure out what's going on with Kawhi Leonard. All right. I mean, is he going to be playing for you guys? Is he not? Who knows? All right, but either way for the Warriors, I mean, I guess it's all right. A little blessing in disguise because of the fact that, I mean, the series doesn't end so soon, so you get a little bit more time to have Steph Curry healed up. And it's looking like even for their next round, which will be against the Pelicans once the Warriors end up winning their series, he might be out for 2 games still. All right. And I mean, we're going to shift over to the Pelicans Trailblazers series, and we're going to talk more so about the Pelicans and Warriors after this. But nonetheless, I mean, on Saturday, we had game 4 going on between the Pelicans and Trailblazers, and the Pelicans won this one 131-123. For the Trailblazers, you had Al-Farouq Aminu, who played about as well as you could ask of a guy like that. 27 points, 6 rebounds, 2 steals, shot 11 of 25, 11 from the 3-point line. Evan Turner played well, 15 points, 5 assists, shot 6 of 12, 1 of 3 from the 3-point line. Nurkic played like everyone except for one person on the starting 5 played well, I guess, as well as they could. All right, Nurkic had 18 points, 11 rebounds, shot 9 of 13. McCollum had 38 points, 3 assists, shot 15 of 22, 2 of 3 from the 3-point line. And then you had Damian Lillard. I have no clue what happened to the guy. All right, the playoffs started and he just completely shut down. He had 19 points, 6 assists, 5 rebounds, shot 7 of 16, 1 of 5 from the 3-point line, shot nearly 50%. But it's just like 19 points from your best player isn't going to cut it. Nurkic did his job, played well. All right, McCollum had his best game. Aminu brought in 27 points. And then you had Turner who brought in 15. All right, it's Lillard. This series is on Lillard. The guy didn't show up at all. All right, you have no one else to blame besides Damian Lillard. I'm putting this one on him. All right, I understand that maybe Evan Turner wasn't great or anything like that, but when it came down to it, Lillard was never good. Played 4 games. I mean, can you really tell me Lillard had like a truly great Damian Lillard type game? I wouldn't say so. But I mean, anyway, for the Pelicans in that game, you had Mirotić, who had 10 points, 11 rebounds, shot 4 of 8. Anthony Davis went off for 47 points, 11 rebounds, shot 15 of 24 from the field, 2 of 4 from the 3-point line, had 2 blocks. Actually, had 3 blocks, excuse me. Etuan Moore played well, 14 points, 3 steals, 3 rebounds, shot 5 of 10. Rondo, I mean, as efficient as you can be, 7 points on 3-of-7 shooting, 7 rebounds, 16 assists. I mean, that's all you could ask for a guy like Rondo right there. All right. Jrue Holiday has been a monster. 41 points, 8 assists, shot 15 of 23, 2-of-7 from the 3-point line, 9-of-12 from the free throw line. All right. And then off the bench, you had Solomon Hill with 6 points, Ian Clark with 3 points. They only played 3 guys off the bench. All right. One with an 8-man lineup here. There was no point in the series where the Trailblazers were the better team. Like, not even for a game, none of that. The Pelicans just simply dominated from start to finish. Anthony Davis is basically a man-child right now because of the fact that, I mean, the dude can't be stopped, all right? And I'm more so focused on the Trailblazers right now. We'll talk about the Pelicans in a bit, but it's just like I said, I mean, Damian Lillard did not show up once in the series. Dude was non-existent. I mean, he was putting up Kyle Lowry numbers. That's what he pretty much did what Kyle Lowry's been doing so far. And Damian Lillard can't do that because of the fact that he's got to be the DeMar DeRozan to his team. All right, CJ McCollum, with his performances in this playoff series, I mean, that's a plus. The series shouldn't be over right now. But nonetheless, I mean, here we are, and it's just like, what do the Trailblazers do? Okay? I mean, you're pretty much stuck as far as salary cap. You can't really sign too many players. You got Miles Leonard, who signed to a ridiculous contract. Evan Turner's got $75 million on his. I'm not sure how much he's got left, but I know he signed for that. All right. And it's just a matter of, I mean, has this team hit its peak? All right. Are we ever going to see them do anything better than what they've done the last 5 or so years? However long McCollum and Lillard have been together. All right. Honestly. I mean, they never did anything with Wesley Matthews, LaMarcus Aldridge, Nicholas Batum, and Lillard. Why would we expect him to do something here? All right, and I guess the question I'm trying to get at here is, it's a matter of, do you trade McCollum or Lillard? All right? Because of the fact that you keep this team together, that's cool, but, I mean, how often are you just going to want to make the playoffs? All right, and as far as trading Damian Lillard, you're probably going to get a lot of value out of him, more so than you would with a guy rather than CJ McCollum. But you trade McCollum, you could still build around Lillard. All right? It's a matter of, I mean, does Lillard still want to be there? Do you still want to play in Portland for the rest of your career where you're probably not going to win a title? And yeah, you'll make the playoffs, but, I mean, what value does making the playoffs year after year have where you're just losing year after year? I don't know. It doesn't sound too fun to me. So the Blazers got a lot of questions they got to answer this offseason as far as what their plans are and what they're going to do. I mean, they're pretty much stuck in playoff mediocrity. All right? They're not great. They're not terrible. I mean, they make the playoffs, but what do? Nothing. So we'll see what they end up doing, but let's shift over to the Pelicans. All right? This Pelicans team looks dangerous. They look very good. All right. I mean, I did not think that. I think I did pick them to win the series. I think I picked them in 6. But, I mean, it's just a matter of, I didn't think they were going to sweep. I didn't think they were going to dominate game 1, 2, 3, and 4. I mean, yeah, they only won by 8 here. But in reality, I mean, it was just a matter of Portland was trying to play catch up in the 4th quarter. All right. Portland had no answer for the Pelicans. They had no answer for Anthony Davis. They had no answer for Nikolai Mirotic. They had no answer for Rondo. They had no answer for Jrue Holiday. All right, so now you're the Pelicans. I mean, assuming so, you're going to be playing the Warriors in the next round. Like I said, Steph might not play the first 2 games. You think the Pelicans can steal those first 2? And if they do, I mean, it's a matter of, I do think with Steph Curry, the Pelicans could win a game. So let's say by some miracle or whatever, Steph doesn't play for the first 2 games. And the miracle might not be the right word there. By some chance, all right, Steph doesn't play the first 2 games. The Pelicans steal those first 2. Do the Pelicans got a shot at knocking off the Warriors, given how well they've been playing? I mean, in reality, the Pelicans do have your prototypical solid, great playoff team. All right, you got your number 1 player, Anthony Davis, who's playing like it. You got the seasoned vet, who come playoff time pretty much shows up and plays well. Rondo, you got that second option, kind of like what McCollum would have been to Damian Lillard. Damian Lillard was playing well, and Jrue Holiday. And then you got your role players in Mirotic, Moore, and Clark, who have pretty much done exactly that, played their role well. The Pelicans do have a very solid team built for the playoffs. So, I mean, like I said, I'm not going to go as far to say that they could beat the Warriors, but it's a matter of maybe they could get a game or two. Maybe they could put a scare in the Warriors. We'll see. All right. But like I said, the Pelicans have played really well. And I mean, Rondo against Steph would be a little fun matchup there. I mean, who's going to guard Anthony Davis? Yes, Draymond is a great defender, but I don't think he could handle Anthony Davis. Let's see. I mean, the Pelicans really don't have a matchup for a guy who could guard Kevin Durant there. So that's going to be a little X factor there. But it's going to be interesting to see. We're going to see maybe we'll see Rondo on Clay and Drew Holiday on Steph rather than Rondo on Steph because of the fact that Rondo isn't as good on defense as he was when he was playing for the Celtics. I mean, Rondo, since he left the Celtics, really hasn't been great on defense. So we'll see what we got going on there. But we're going to wrap it up here. Next up, we're going to be talking about the last two series. We got Minnesota and Houston and then Oklahoma City versus Utah. So we'll be doing that and also talking about their games going on tonight. So stay tuned and we'll be right back.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC to the extreme cage fighting, we got the fights covered.
Listen.
It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to. The Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
All right, and welcome back to the GSMC Basketball Podcast. Been a fun show so far. I mean, we've pretty much just been talking about each series so far. We got the Raptors and Wizards who are tied 2-2. Cleveland, Toronto, or Cleveland and Pacers are at 2-2. Milwaukee, Boston's at 2-2. Philly, Miami, and Golden State, San Antonio are at 3-1. And then we got the Pelicans who swept the Trailblazers. Now we're going to talk about the rest of the other two series. So let's do that. All right, let's talk about OKC versus Utah first. So we had game three on Saturday, and Utah beat Oklahoma City 115-102. For the Thunder, you had Carmelo Anthony with 14 points, had 4 rebounds, 3 steals, shot 6-10 from the field, 2-4 from the three-point line. Paul George, I mean, he came up with his nickname for himself as Playoff P, which is just about as... I'll be nice. Paul George had 23 points, 3 assists, 2 rebounds, shot 7 of 16, 3 of 8 from the 3-point line. Steven Adams had 8 points, 2 rebounds in this one. A little bit of, I don't know if you want your starting center only bringing in 2 rebounds. Kind of reminds me of a Brook Lopez type player. Russell Westbrook had 14 points, 11 rebounds, 9 assists, shot 5 of 17. Obviously not great there, Russell. Raymond Felton had 14 points, 2 assists, shot 5 of 10, 4 of 5 from the 3-point line. Patrick Patterson had 8 points, 3 rebounds, shot 3 of 3. I mean, that's pretty much all that was notable there. I mean, Jeremy Grant had 7 points, 3 rebounds. And then for the Jazz, you had Derek Favors with 11 points, had 5 rebounds, shot 4 of 5. Joe Ingles had 21 points, 4 assists, shot 7 of 15, 5 of 10 from the 3-point line. Rudy Gobert had 18 points, 12 rebounds, shot 6 of 8. Ricky Rubio, dude has been a monster in the playoffs so far, giving Russell Westbrook some nightmares, I feel, right? Rubio had 26 points, 10 assists, 11 rebounds, 9 of 18 shooting there. I mean, both him and Westbrook, I mean, he had a triple-double. Westbrook had a near triple-double. You can clearly tell who the best player was, all right? Donovan Mitchell had 22 points, 11 rebounds, shot 9 of 20, 4 of 7 from the 3-point line. And then off the bench, you had Jay Crowder, who had 4 points, 2 steals in this one, shot 2 of 5. Royce O'Neal had 7 points. And then you had Dante Exum with 4 points off the bench, shot 2 of 4, had 2 rebounds, 2 assists. All right. So I was watching this game, and I mean, from start to finish, we knew who was winning this one. All right. It wasn't, oh, KC could come back or something like that. Like, no, they had no shot whatsoever at coming back. All right. It wasn't happening. No way. All right. That Utah crowd is something else. And there's just some games, like I'm just saying, like there's some games where you watch and you're like, okay, yeah, this team's most likely gonna come back. Like you just, like, you don't know, but you can just feel it. All right,
You feel when a comeback is going to happen. And it's just in this Utah game, like, you knew Oklahoma City had no chance whatsoever at coming back. I mean, Utah has just way too many good players right now. All right, Utah has a full team. OKC has about 2.5 players, the half being Carmelo Anthony. All right. And it's just, I mean, has there been an instance this season where Melo, Paul George, and Westbrook have all played very good, efficient games? Like, have been just necessarily good at the same time? I mean, I don't think so. Honestly. Like, I just really haven't seen it. And if I'm wrong, and they have, I mean, point me in that direction, whatever game it was. But it's just with this team, I mean, you had Melo, who played well, 6 of 10 from the field, and that only gets you 14 points. All right. I mean, I'm not really sure. Like, as far as Melo's career, I think that he's pretty much done everything he can. There's no winning a championship. There's no being the best player on your team anymore. Like, that ship has completely sailed for Carmelo Anthony, I feel. All right, and with Paul George, I feel like he's just playing till he's not with the team anymore. Okay, which is going to be this offseason. I picked the Jazz to win this series on 5, and I'm still sticking with that. I mean, why not? Okay, we got game 4 coming up tonight. Jazz take that one in Utah. They're up 3-1. You really think that this Oklahoma City team has what it takes to come back? I don't think so. And one of the biggest problems I have with Oklahoma City is I feel they just don't run like a normal offense. And that's partly, that's Russell Westbrook's fault. Okay, Russell Westbrook has a style where he plays, like a style of play that's very unique to him. But it's just a matter of, it doesn't seem like what Russell Westbrook's ever going to change that. All right, the way Russell Westbrook plays, I don't think is sustainable enough to go wild and win championships or anything like that. If anything, you need him to reel back a bit, but just given the kind of player that is, going 100% and never really changing anything up for anyone else, I mean, it is what it is. All right? Russell Westbrook's never going to win a title unless he changes the way he plays, and I just don't see that happening. And as far as the Jazz go, I mean, they're playing well. All right? They're playing extremely well. Joe Ingles has played well. Donovan Mitchell was looking like a seasoned vet out there, a superstar. Rudy Gobert, I think people are starting to realize now how great of a center he is. Derek Favors has a role. He's excelling at it. And Ricky Rubio. All right. I feel like we're getting the Ricky Rubio everyone was expecting when he was leaving Spain back coming into the NBA. I think we're getting that guy here. All right. Because Ricky Rubio has been a monster in the playoffs so far. And you got Russell Westbrook. He's asked about it after, and he says he's going to stop that expletive for the next game. And it's just, I know in Russell Westbrook's heart, he can't stand the fact that he's being outplayed by Ricky Rubio. And he is. He is. There's no doubt. All right? You could be a Russell Westbrook fan. You could be an Oklahoma City Thunder fan. You could just think Russell Westbrook is playing better than Ricky Rubio, and you're wrong. All right? Rubio has been way better than Westbrook. Okay? So it's going to be very interesting to see what this Oklahoma City team is made of. They win game 4. I mean, we're back to square one. They don't. It's over. All right. And I don't think I've gotten any series right. I don't think I'm going to, let's see. I picked Cleveland in 5. Obviously, that's not happening. And I still don't feel good about that pick whatsoever. I'm sorry, Indiana Pacers fans. I picked Boston in 6. Is that a possibility? That's still a possibility. Okay, I picked the Warriors in 6. I mean, the Spurs get one more. We got a chance. Let's see. I picked the Jazz in 5. I picked the Rockets in 6, and we're going to be talking about that in a moment. That's a very possible. That's a possibility. Oh, I picked the Rockets in 7, I think. Yeah, I picked the Rockets in 7 and the Raptors in 7. Actually, we still got a chance. We still got a chance. The only one I've gotten wrong so far is the Pelicans in 6 over the Trailblazers. And I mean, I got the pick right. It's just a matter of how many games I got wrong there. So we'll see, but like I said, I mean, as far as the Thunder go, tonight's a must win. Otherwise, I mean, it's over. There's no coming back, all right? None whatsoever. There's no chance at all. So we'll see, but let's see. We had Minnesota and Houston on Saturday. Minnesota won that game by 16. And turns out, Tom Thibodeau actually knows how to get his players involved. But let's go over the score. We had Minnesota winning 121 to 105. Trevor Ariza for Houston had 6 points, four rebounds, shot 2 of 5 from the field. All of those came from the 3-point line. PJ Tucker, I feel, just hasn't played well at all in the playoffs. Had 4 points, shot 1 of 6 from the field. Clint Capella had 7 points, 11 rebounds. Chris Paul had 17 points, 6 assists, 3 rebounds, shot 7 of 11. James Harden had 29 points, 7 assists, 7 rebounds, shot 9 of 21, 3 of 8 from the 3-point line. Off the bench, you had Eric Gordon with 15 points, shot 5 of 16, so that's not great. Jalen Green, 4 of 8 from the field, 10 points, and then you had Ryan Anderson, who had 12 points, shot 4 of 6 from 3. For the Timberwolves, Andrew Wiggins, very efficient, 7 of 11 from the field, 4 of 6 from the 3-point line, 11 points, 5 rebounds, 20 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. Karl Anthony Towns, I mean, probably want him to get some more shots up, but he went 5 of 13 from the field, 18 points, 16 rebounds. Jeff Teague had 23 points, 8 assists, shot 9 of 14. Jimmy Butler finally got some shots up, had 28 points, 5 assists, 7 rebounds, shot 10 of 19. And then off the bench, you had Derrick Rose, who shot 8 of 16 from the field. That's 50%. That's me doing math. Had 17 points, was a plus 13 there, 2 assists. All right. And, I mean, with the Timberwolves here, that's the recipe to beat the Rockets. Get Butler and Towns more involved. They've been close in all these games. It's not like, unless, I think there was one game where they lost by 20. I think it might have been game 2. But nonetheless, for games 1 and games 3, they've looked good. All right? And they got to bring it at the same type of atmosphere tonight. We're going to see what they got going on here. Derrick Rose has been a very good player for the Timberwolves so far in the playoffs. And like I said, I mean, Cleveland's got to be wondering, hey, maybe we should have kept that guy and maybe we'd be playing better. All right? But I'm very interested to see what goes on tonight. This one decides the series. Not decides it. This one, obviously, if the Rockets win, it's over. If the Timberwolves win, then it could go 7, I think. All right, so we'll see. I mean, you need games like this out of Andrew Wiggins, too. No one's really going to talk about Andrew Wiggins because of the fact that Jimmy Butler led the team with 28 points, but the fact that Andrew Wiggins went 7 of 11 from the field, 4 of 6 from 3, those are the games they need from him, all right, especially if they want to make it out of this series. And I'm not saying they are. I'm not saying they're not, but it's just a matter if they want to have a chance. So we'll see what ends up happening. But like I said, they got a game tonight. So let's talk about those two games. We got two games. Yeah, we got the Jazz Thunder and then the Rockets Timberwolves. Let's see what we got going on here. So the Rockets Timberwolves is at 5 o'clock tonight Pacific time. I'm going to go with the Timberwolves. All right, Rockets are only favored by 6. I like the way the Timberwolves have been playing. The Rockets really haven't impressed me so far. So I'm going to go with the Timberwolves there. And then I got the Jazz beating the Thunder. I'm not too high on the Thunder at all. I mean, I don't think that's really wrong because of the fact that they haven't really played well. So we'll see. So I get the Jazz and Timberwolves winning tonight. All right. So that's going to actually wrap it up today. Today we talked about pretty much all the series so far. Pretty much talked about them all, recapped them a bit. Like I said, we had the Pelicans already winning their series, swept the Trailblazers. And then pretty much seems like after today, I mean, all the game fours besides the Timberwolves and Jazz series have concluded. I mean, we got the Cavs and Pacers at 2-2, Wizards, Raptors at 2-2, Celtics, Milwaukee at 2-2, and then we got the Philly and Miami, and then San Antonio's up on, Golden State's up on San Antonio 3-1, and the Philly's up on Miami 3-1. So we'll see how it all ends up. So we'll see, but either way, oh yeah, just got an update right now too. Marcus Smart upgraded to questionable for Game 5 versus the Bucks, all right, according to Bleacher Report. So we'll see. Marcus Smart plays Game 5. That's going to make a big difference for the Celtics right there. The Celtics need Marcus Smart. All right, Marcus Smart's not a great shooter by any means, but he does have that little it factor for the Celtics, so we'll see. I feel more comfortable with the Celtics making it out of the series if they get Marcus Smart back for Game 5. So we'll see what ends up happening. But like I said, thanks for listening to the GSMC Basketball Podcast. I am your host, Jesse Tapia. We'll be back on Wednesday to talk about everything else. So stay tuned, and we'll talk to you later.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can
can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.